Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. I hope your weekend was great. If you're just tuning in, boy, I had a great hour getting started from my first hour with Patrick Albanese and then Lance Hahn. Lance Hahn is a very interesting guy. I enjoy him. He talked a lot about anxiety. And if you suffer from that, you're going to want to go back and hear that interview at myfaithradio.com. And there's a lot of good stuff. We're going to have a great hour now. Coming up, Gil Mertz is my guest. He has written a book called Forgive Your Way to Freedom. And if freedom is an issue for you, you're going to want to listen to this. You're going to want to understand, because we're going to talk about understanding forgiveness and why so many of us struggle with forgiveness. He's got a lot of material. I cannot wait to start this conversation with him. And I'm going to also open up the phone lines, because you can ask questions, 877-933-2484. Forgiveness or unforgiveness is a really big deal. So I want to tackle it today with Gil. He's going to be on in just a minute. I'm going to take a little break, and when we come back, let's get things started with Gil Mertz.
Hi, I'm Neil Stavem, manager of Faith Radio. Here's a note from a listener. Faith Radio has made the biggest difference in my life and in my journey as a believer in Christ. Because of you, my Bible is off the bookshelf and in my hands. I now attend a church that is very alive and thriving. I love so many of your speakers, especially Greg Laurie. That's such an encouraging note. And for those of you who support this ministry and make the relevant Bible preaching, like Greg Laurie and others, possible, thank you. When God's Word is taught and the gospel is presented, lives are changed. And as a financial partner of this ministry, you share in the blessing of these transformation stories. Now, many people have been touched by your generosity, and we couldn't do it without your support. So thank you again for keeping Faith Radio strong. And if you've yet to join our giving team, make a call today and invest in what God is doing through this ministry. Call 877-93-FAITH to make a gift. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Gil Mertz is an assistant to the president at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. He's been involved with full-time Christian service and ministry for 40 years. He's got quite a background. He's got a real love and passion for international missions and humanitarian causes and public policy. He does consulting. He's used to be a pastor and also a radio host. So I got a real pro on my hands, which I'm looking forward to. And he's written a book called Forgive Your Way to Freedom. And in the subtitle is Reconcile Your Past and Reclaim Your Future. Gil, where have they been hiding you?
Hey, Bill. So nice to meet you, and look forward to our time together.
Yeah. Congratulations on your book, and what a great career you've had, and thank you for your all the work you've done. This is cool.
Well, thank you, Bill. Yeah, I love what I do, and I hope it shows.
Yeah. And just because our listeners are getting to know you a little bit, is there a personal testimony that you can share?
Sure, happy to do that. I was very blessed to be born into a Christian home. I often say that I started going to church 9 months before I was born. And so
I'm sure you did.
I was exposed to Jesus at a very young age. We went to church very regularly. And so at the age of six, in my Sunday school class, I asked Jesus into my heart. And when I became a teenager, I felt the Lord's calling upon my life to serve Him in full-time Christian service. And as you mentioned, that's been over 40 years, and it's been a great ride with the Lord. We've had our ups and downs, but I think mostly ups, and it is just an honor to serve Him. And one of my great passions is this whole message of forgiveness and helping people find the freedom they need.
Yeah. Is the message of forgiveness a deeply personal one? Did you have an episode that prompted you to be so passionate about this?
I did, and I share that story in my book about the reconciliation that I experienced with my father before he died. But the book also contains a lot of true stories about people who found freedom through forgiveness. And Bill, we don't sugarcoat anything. I mean, the good, bad, and the ugly is in there. But they all are inspiring stories of how people they were able to find freedom and overcome amazing obstacles and get on with their life. And that's one of the main messages from the book is we all have, life throws us some pretty nasty curveballs and throws us off track from the purpose that God has called us to do. And the antidote to that is forgiveness. And when we can work through, those nasty curveballs, we can get on with the purpose God called us for.
Gil, can you talk a little bit about what you and your dad, how you guys reconciled?
Yes. Well, I didn't have a great relationship with my father. Interestingly, Bill, as I share this story in men's conferences or in churches, it really resonates with a lot of men and women who had similar struggles in their own families with a father who was cold and distant and, in my case, abusive. But I learned that my dad came from a long line of abusers. So I think he did the best he knew how, but he certainly had his own challenges and made some bad choices with his children. So when I became an adult, I had completely broken off from my father, and it wasn't until many years later when I found out my dad was dying that God really convicted me about going to see him. We were about 2,000 miles away at that time. And I had thought to myself, let him die in peace and we're fine. But God really convicted me that I needed to at least attempt to reconcile with him and so whatever that looked like. And so long story short, which is detailed in the book, I did go to St. Louis. I live in Southern California, so I flew into St. Louis, met with my dad. We had a couple of hours together and had that beautiful time of tears and honesty and forgiveness. And I have to tell you, Bill, it was more than just somebody forgiving someone else. In our family, in our case, it was like a generational curse had been lifted that had hung over our family for many years. And I know that a lot of folks that I'm talking to right now can relate to that. They had no choice in how they were raised, but I want to tell your folks, your listeners, that you have every power, every choice through God's strength to set a new path for you and the next generation.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you talk about the opportunity you had to go visit your father and when he was dying, and there's so many people listening right now that may feel a sense of panic because they may not have that opportunity because, their dad could drop dead today. And, you don't know. So this whole idea of reaching out and trying to seek forgiveness with somebody is something that you can't really wait for too long, can you?
Well, you shouldn't. I often ask people when I'm teaching or preaching on the subject, as I conclude my thoughts, one of my questions that I end with is, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
We know we should forgive, but I wanted to write a book that was not only biblical and clinical, but highly practical to show you how to forgive. You know, Bill, we know we should, but we just don't know how a lot of times. And so I'm hoping to help people connect the dots because you know what? No matter how – in fact, I'll tell you honestly, Bill, this old dinosaur is finally learning Facebook after all these years. And once you figure it out, once you learn how, it's actually kind of easy. But for me, it was a little intimidating because I just – I'm not a good techie. But forgiveness is no different. I present forgiveness as a learned skill that anybody can do if you just know how. And so hopefully, that's going to be able to help people to set themselves free. But one other point on this, Bill, and that is there may also be people here who are listening, and it's too late. The one you need to forgive may have already died, and you didn't have that wonderful time of reconciliation and that talk. And for those people, I would encourage you to write down on a piece of paper everything you would have said to them to their face. And that may be enough for you, but if you could go to their graveside and stand right there at their grave, as silly as that may sound to some, read your letter as though you're saying it to this person. It's not obviously going to do anything for them, but it will be marvelous therapy for you. And it could be a real milestone moment of how you can set yourself free.
Mm-hmm. Gil, when you teach on forgiveness, and I love the fact that you can it's a skill that you can sort of learn. But when you're teaching on forgiveness, what are some of the common responses you hear from people?
Great question, Bill. When I first started teaching, I was a little surprised, to be honest, that there was resistance to teaching on some or learning about something that has so much power and victory and peace and joy to it. What I would commonly get, there are kind of three categories I would put people in. One is the people who are very complacent about it. Oh, there's no one I need to forgive, and I can't think of anyone whose forgiveness I need to seek. So this may be good for other people, but it's completely irrelevant to me. And that's why I put in the book a 25-question kind of a evaluation,
mm-hmm.
In which it asks, how good of a forgiver are you? And by the end of those 25 questions, I've had so many people come back to me and say, wow, I honestly didn't think this was an issue for me, but it clearly is. Another common response I get, Bill, is it's obvious that there are people who are very convicted about this subject because they know, you know, there's still some scars on their heart that haven't healed over. And they know they should forgive, but they just feel guilty about it that they haven't. And because it's painful, because it taps into some uncomfortable history, they really, like me with my father, I just didn't want to deal with it. And so a lot of people, you know, don't want to deal with it that way. But probably the most common, Bill, is people just, they honestly don't understand about forgiveness. It's almost scary.
Mm.
And, you know, if there was one thing I would want, if I was the devil, there's one thing I'd want to get you confused about, it would be forgiveness. Not only God's forgiveness of your sins, but how to forgive one another, how to seek other people's forgiveness. Because as I contend, you know, we are most like God, Bill, when we forgive.
True.
So that would be the one thing I'd want you to be completely confused about.
Gil, I went through the forgiveness questionnaire and evaluation, and it is zinger after zinger, just so you know.
Mm. Well, Bill, we can pray about that right now, brother.
I mean, I'll just throw this one out.
I'm glad you said that.
Oh, it is. I mean,
no,
I'll
thanks
just,
for saying that.
Yeah, I'll throw this one out, and then we'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk about this some
sure.
more. But just for example, as I look over these, here's number 13. I easily forgive myself when I make poor decisions that impact my life. Well, I know so many people that are still to this day beating themselves up over that. They do not forgive
yeah.
themselves, and they have no plans to forgive themselves.
Bill, that's so right. And you and me and others like us, we are so good about giving grace to everyone around us, but we won't give that same grace to us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way out. There's you can find freedom for that, too.
Yeah. If you treated your friends the way you treat yourself, you wouldn't have any friends.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you said it.
Good. Let me take a break. Gil Mertz is my guest. We're talking about his book, Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past and Reclaim Your Future. If you'd like to jump into the discussion, 877-933-2484. If you have a question that's been troubling you about forgiveness, or you need to know exactly how to do it, or we'll walk you through the hurt, give us a call or a text, 877-933-2484. Be back in a minute. Gil Mertz is my guest. He is assistant to the president at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. We're chatting about forgiveness today, and he says there's a better way to do it. He can help us. His book is called Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past and Reclaim Your Future. He's got a 25-question evaluation for forgiveness. And I'm looking over these, and I'm feeling discomfort as I read these.
You're not alone, my friend.
Yeah. I do not let...
And by the way...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, Bill, please. I'm sorry.
I do not let what other people think of me determine my value. Uh-oh. I don't compare myself with other people, and I don't feel that my life is unfair. I do not blame others for my problems in my life. What do you have to say for yourself, Gil?
Well, those are all true or false questions. And at the end, you can actually score yourself.
I know.
And what we encourage in the book is take that evaluation before you start the book. And then when you finish the book, take that evaluation again. And you can actually measure how you have grown in your understanding of that. Mm. And let me also encourage your listeners, Bill, that you also, seek out it might be your spouse, a family member, a trusted friend, someone who knows you well and can be honest with you. Let them take that same evaluation for you. You'd be surprised. They may have a very different answer about how they perceive you than how you perceive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs is probably going to be a little more objective.
Yeah. Are you carrying around unresolved pain? Well, let's get it out on the table today. 877-933-2484. Gil Mertz is my guest. We've got Amy's calling in from Egan. Amy, welcome to the show. You've got a question or a comment.
Yes, thank you so much for
You're
having
welcome.
Me.
Of course.
So I had an unwanted divorce, and I have a daughter, and will be meeting the person who is perhaps one of the causes of the divorce. And I know that I need to forgive her because she will be in my daughter's life, but I'm really struggling with them not acknowledging that it was wrong, even though I know that that's not a requirement for me to forgive them.
That's a tough one.
Yes, it is a tough one. These are all, anything related to forgiveness is always tough. It's just a difference of the degree of toughness, because they tap into very real emotions that impact not only how we live, but how we think and how we feel. So it's a big deal all the time. Amy, thank you for sharing your story. May I ask, how old is your daughter?
She's 4.
4. Okay. Amy, I really want to commend you for recognizing the need to address this, because whatever happened in the past, it sounds to me like you were a victim of someone else's really bad choices. And there's nothing we can do about what happened before, but we want to stop that where it ended and protect your daughter so that your scars never impact her. And so you're exactly right, Amy. The person who has hurt you may never acknowledge what they did. They may never repent to you. I mean, that would certainly make it a lot easier. But your job between you and God is to forgive this person regardless of their response. This is kind of a one-way forgiveness. Gary Chapman and I, we talked about this, he of the 5 love languages, and he described it as a one-way forgiveness. This is something that you surrender to God and God empowers you to do. And it's not for the villain in your story. It's not for this person who hurt you so badly. Amy, this is for you. This is all about you and getting you healthy and happy and being able to move on in your life. But most of all, in this case, it really is a matter of protecting your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can do that?
Yeah, I've been praying about it for a while. So I know what to do. It's just the heart piece. And that's where Satan wants you to sit. He wants you to sit and just rehearse the bitterness. And that gets neither one of us anywhere.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about the rehearsing the bitterness. You know, the word resentment, Amy, comes from the Latin word resentir, which means, I'm sorry, I get a little emotional when I talk about this, but it means to feel again. And every time you rehearse that, what you're doing is you're feeling that again. And you have to ask yourself, have I learned anything new at all the times I've rehearsed that in my mind? Have I grown as a person? Am I different now than I was before? Have I had this aha moment of, aha, now I see? No, none of that happens. And so the hard question you have to ask yourself, Amy, is didn't it hurt enough the first time? Don't continue to rehearse that in your mind, because it only hurts you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy, for
calling. Bless you, Amy.
And God bless you, Amy.
Thanks.
Yep. Wow.
You know, Bill, as I'm teaching and preaching I about forgiveness, I walk right into people's pain. I see it on their faces. They look at me in the congregation like, who told you? Or how did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, you know, what Amy is struggling with is actually pretty common. Forgiveness is something that impacts every life, every relationship, every marriage, every family, every church, every business, every nation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the one subject that covers everybody.
Yeah. Gil, you just did that with so much tenderness. Thank you for role modeling that to me. It was amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. We're going to take a break in about 3 minutes. Would you touch on forgiveness versus reconciliation? How do you know?
Yeah, that's another great.
Yeah, how do you know if you're called to reconcile once you've been forgiven?
Great question, Bill, because they are separate. Forgiveness is something I need to do, like in Amy's case or your case, my case. That's something I need to do regardless of how my offender might respond. But if this is a relationship that I want to restore, maybe it's a marriage relationship or a friendship that's important to you, I want to restore that relationship. Now, that requires two people. Now, that doesn't mean if I forgive someone, oh, so does that mean I have to be friends with this person? No, not at all. You don't have to be friends with them to forgive them. You may not want to have anything to do with them, but don't give them free rent space in your head anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But to reconcile, that is when I really want to reach out and try to have a relationship with this person. And the way to know how do I know when I should reconcile is if the relationship is more important than the issue
mm-hmm.
that has separated you.
Mm-hmm.
You eventually will come to a point where, you know, this was a big deal and it hurt me a lot, but my relationship with you, Bill, is more important to me. And so therefore I want that relationship and I'm willing to forgive the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you begin.
I like that. All right, I'm going to take a little break. When we come back, lots more with Gil Mertz. His book is called Forgive Your Way to Freedom. And if you have a question about forgiveness, maybe you've been stuck in the difficult place of not being able to forgive someone or not knowing how to do it, now's the time to call. We've got an expert on the line. 877-933-2484 is the number to call. You can also send me a text. I can ask that question on your behalf. You can, of course, remain anonymous if you like. Once again, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Be back. Welcome back to the show. Awfully glad to be talking to Gil Mertz today. He's the president, assistant to the president, the Family Research Council in D.C. But he's living in Southern Cal right now, which is awfully nice. He's written a book called Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past and Reclaim Your Future. Gil, when you forgive someone, does that mean you're letting them off the hook?
Well, I'm letting them off my hook,
okay.
But they are not off God's hook.
Okay.
You raise a good point here, Bill, because a lot of people struggle to forgive because they think, wow, you know, if I let them off the hook, doesn't that mean it's like it's okay what they did to me, or that they were somehow this rationalizes it, it condones it. But forgiving someone does not change history.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you in the past was wrong when it happened. and it's wrong now, and it'll always be wrong. But when you forgive someone, you are releasing them so that they can, so that you can move on with your life, but you're also releasing them to God. And God is a much better judge than you and I will ever be. Mm-hmm. God is not biased like we are, and God will make it right. And so we need to remove ourselves from being judge, jury, and executioner and just leave that to God.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I'm going to ask a difficult question. Hopefully I can read this without bursting into tears. A listener just texted in and said, our daughter took her own life 9 months ago at age 48. Mistakes I made when she was young, I believe, contributed to the mental illness, plus her making a choice to marry a man who was not a believer 11 years ago. How can I forgive myself?
Oh, this one really hits home, Bill. I detail this in the book. I have an entire chapter devoted to forgiving yourself. And I also have a personal story, and I want this person who's listening right now to know that I struggled over the same issue. I had a brother who committed suicide when he was 22 years old. And so we were 18 months apart because we lived in a big family in a small house. We actually shared a bed, our entire childhood. So I was as close to this brother, you know, as you could possibly be. We'd moved apart, and he committed suicide. And suicide, it's a unique kind of grief, because while death is always painful and grievous, a suicide is one where it just seems so unnecessary, and it's riddled with guilt that we carry. Because if I could have just been a better big brother to, you know, Freddie, mm-hmm. Maybe he would have lived. Now, interestingly, the Bible doesn't talk a lot about forgiving yourself, but the same principles that apply to forgiving others absolutely apply to us. And so I think if this lady were to ask, if you were in a position to ask your daughter, do you forgive me? I guarantee you, I just guarantee that her daughter would say, yes, I forgave you. I had to learn my own self through my own experience that my problem, and all the times I prayed and asked, oh, God, please forgive me for not being there, not being a better big brother for Freddie. My wife had to remind me that Freddie had forgiven me a long time ago, but I had never forgiven myself. And so I just prayed the prayer right there, and I used myself as I was talking in third person. I forgive you. I forgive you for, you know, and I just listed specifically all the areas where I felt like I had failed. And God released me of that guilt that was only hurting me. It wasn't helping, you know, my loved one who had committed suicide. It was only hurting me. And so I would encourage, you know, this precious listener who mm-hmm. is going through this terrible experience, that you embrace the forgiveness. Because let me tell you something, whatever shortcomings you had, whatever you may have done wrong, if forgiveness to you is good enough for God and it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Gil, for that. That's a difficult difficult email. Another caller said, there's a broken family with a divorce involved. The father is having mental health challenges. How can the mom help her son forgive the father? I want to try to help so the son gets some coaching.
Yeah, be happy to. It's always helpful to understand the ages of a child. I know you don't have that information.
I don't have that.
Because, yeah, certainly. But I think the same lessons apply to this child. And I really want to say to this person, if you're listening right now, thank you for coming to terms that this will be an issue for your son. I've actually written an ebook called Help Your Kids Learn to Forgive, because, Bill, we just assume kids are going to figure this out, and they never do. And how much heartache and misery and poor life choices could we spare our children when they become adults if we teach them at a very early age how to deal with challenging relationships? So I really want to commend you for addressing this issue. Let me offer one suggestion that you might consider that I think would be helpful for your son, and that is to help him to empathize with his father. Understand that some of the decisions he has made are because of his mental illness, that he can't help what he does. And if you can help your son understand that, where he's coming from, it will not only move him with compassion for his father, but it will also help forgive him. You know, Bill, I talk about my own father and my own forgiveness journey. When I understood what a terrible father he had, and probably before him and before him, it helped me understand why my dad made the decisions he did, why he behaved the way he did. And when I understood what a miserable life he had had growing up as a child, it broke my heart for him and helped me to forgive him and set him free. And I would encourage your listener to do the same with your son. Help him to empathize with what his father is going through.
Yeah, lovely advice, Gil. Another caller has said, I have forgiven someone and have taken that step, and then down the road, the feelings of anger and hurt come back. Does that mean I haven't really forgiven them, or is this just a process?
Oh, what a great question.
I have really, really smart listeners, Gil. I got to be honest.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, they're well fed, Bill.
Oh, thank you.
I know you're doing a great job there with your listeners. But let's address that issue. And I think that this listener already came to the correct conclusion. Forgiveness, first of all, it is a process. In the book, I talk about four steps that we go through to release our power of forgiveness, to resolve our pain of the past, restore our peace in the present, and to reclaim our purpose for the future. So to forgive, we immediately make that commitment. I commit to forgive. But that is the first step in a journey. It is a process. Now, this needn't last for long. In fact, how long it takes for you to work through that process largely depends on you. Unfortunately, we know people who have hung on to heartaches for years and years, and that shouldn't have to be the case. Now, there's no timetable here, but you do need to allow yourself a little bit of time for healing. You know, it takes time to heal an arm or a broken leg, and a broken heart is no different. It takes a little bit of time. But just because you still feel that pain does not mean you haven't forgiven. If you've ever been to a dentist and had your mouth numbed with Novocaine so they could drill your tooth or whatever they do with it, well, when that wears off, it still hurts. But that doesn't mean healing isn't happening where the dentist has applied, that procedure. You're healing. Give yourself a lot of grace, and if you continue to hurt, I deal a lot of about this in the book, where I talk about forgetting. A lot of people say, I just can't forget. Well, let me tell you something. You're never going to forget, so stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
People get so frustrated thinking that they can forget. When we forgive, God does not press some magical delete button in our brain. Oh, it's gone. But we can learn to remember the past in a different way, so that we can manage our emotions instead of being overwhelmed by them. And one of the ways we do that is we can allow ourselves to have a different perspective of the past. See, when we look at the past, we look at it through a very small lens. It's our lens, and it's colored with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But as we open up to friends or family, or in some cases, perhaps counseling, we begin to see a much broader perspective that is filled with more truth than what we allow to let in because our hearts are broken. But it helps us to remember the past in a different way. And when we can do that, these memories become less and less painful. But if you're trying to forget, just stop right now. Do yourself a favor. Stop it.
That's such a good point. Gil, why do so many people struggle just to forgive themselves? I mean, don't we all look and say, gosh, we're broken people and we make mistakes, and mistakes should make us stronger and God will forgive, and I'm willing to be forthright in my wrongdoing and I want to apologize and make it right. So why do we not ever seem to let ourselves off the hook very easily?
Well, tell you what, Bill, when I figure that one out completely, can I call you back?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that has been a journey of mine. The only thing I can think of, Bill, and maybe you can relate to this and add your own perspective, we usurp the authority of not only the defendant in the case, but we are the jury and we are the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And we often mete out a punishment that far exceeds the crime because we are trying to make something that was wrong right. And we so overcompensate because we are the worst person to be the judge there. You know, Bill, if you need surgery and your wife is the doctor, she can't operate on you because she's too emotionally attached. We have to bring in a totally different doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same way when we're struggling, you know, to forgive. We are the most biased judge there could be. We need to remove ourselves from that podium of judgment,
right,
whether it's other people or ourselves, and give us the same grace that God wants to just not just give us, but just pour out all over us. So why would we say, no, God, I don't want any grace? So that's the part I haven't quite figured out yet.
Yeah, Bill, that's a big one. Gil, is there a difference between wounds and scars?
Oh, I love that whole subject, and I deal with it in the book. You know, God, and the short answer to that, Bill, is yes, there's a difference. Because God can heal our hearts no matter what it is. There is nothing that's happened to you that God cannot redeem in a beautiful way. But he leaves the scars, which just seems a little strange to people. Well, why wouldn't God take away the scars on my soul? When Jesus was risen from the dead, you know, that's like the ultimate healing. And yet, when Thomas doubted that it was Jesus, what did Jesus use to prove it was him? It was his scars. And I believe when I see Jesus someday, Bill, I'm going to see those scars on the hands of Jesus, and they will forever remind me of why I am here in heaven. And they are not marks of shame. They are marks, they are scars of beauty and grace and love and honor. And the scars in our soul, they remain to remind us, to help us appreciate things more, to help us understand things better, and to draw us closer to God. But whether we see these scars as marks of shame or as signs of healing is entirely upon it dependent on our ability to forgive.
All right, I'm going to take a little break. Gil Mertz is my guest. Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past, and Reclaim Your Future. If you have a question about forgiveness or an issue you would like some input on, I think Gil would be willing to take it. 877-933-2484 is the phone number and the text line, 877-933-2484. We'll take a short break and be back with Gil in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. The Big Hand is on the 47. We've got 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Gil Mertz is my guest. His book, Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past and Reclaim Your Future. This whole topic of forgiveness is so huge. There's so many components. So, Gil, let me ask, how do we move away from like a victim mentality? There's so many people that will have a tendency of saying, I'm a victim, and they live their lives that way.
That's true. Well, the fact is, at one time you were a victim, and I don't know what how you might have been abused or exploited or perhaps hurt through some sort of verbal abuse, whatever the case. When that happened to you, you were a victim. Yes, you were. But to hold on to that is not serving you at all.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we don't want to let go of our victimness, Bill, is because, and this is going to sound really strange, because a lot of people actually like being a victim. Because when I'm a victim, not as much as is as expected of me. Hey, I'm a victim, so I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can revel in that victimness because people will also feel sorry for me. But again, you have to ask yourself, how is that working for you? So you didn't have a choice when you were a victim. But ever since then, you've had every choice to move beyond that, to become a victor, and to live a life that God has always designed for you. So there's a great old book, and I can't remember who the author, but it was Kill the Victim Before the Victim Kills You.
Oh, I like that.
And we need to move on. Yeah. Yeah, great book. Yeah. I wish I could remember the title, the author.
Yeah, Gil, is there such a thing as an unforgiving Christian? I mean, is that... those words seem incompatible to me together.
Yeah, kind of like affordable housing
right,
where I live.
Right. Yeah.
You know, boy, in Matthew 18, Jesus lays it out in the parable of the unforgiving servant. And we're familiar with the story of the man who owed an insurmountable amount. And the king forgave him, and then he, you know, jumps on a friend, owes him $5, and he won't forgive him. And so the Bible says, and these are the words of our Lord, that the king was so furious that he threw this guy into prison. And Jesus goes on to say one of the most solemn passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Jesus says, "And so will my heavenly Father do to you if you do not forgive others." Wow. I mean, that's pretty serious consequences. And what I think Jesus is referring to is that we create our own prison made of bars of hate and bitterness and resentment and grudges and jealousy and ugliness. And we can spend our whole life behind those bars. And God is not in any hurry to rescue us from that prison. People say, "Oh, I could forgive if God would just take away my bitterness." Yeah, and I could lose weight if God would take away my desire for donuts.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have to surrender my bitterness to God. And here's the great irony, Bill, about sitting in these prisons that we've created for ourselves the whole time. We're holding the key right in our own hand. The key is forgiveness, and you can set yourself free. Mm-hmm. And listen, once you're free, there ain't nothing you can't do.
Yeah. All right. Gil, I've got another caller. Sue is calling in from St. Paul, Minnesota. Sue, welcome to the show. You've got a question for Gil.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my
call.
You're
welcome.
About 4.5 years ago, we were victim of a Ponzi scheme. And, yeah, it was pretty difficult. And I think... what has happened is both my husband and I are coming into retirement now, and that was our whole life savings.
Oh, boy.
And so we are in a situation where we're kind of had to start over. And even deeper than that, the person was really preying on me specifically. It was in a, you know, financial group, and it was my father's inheritance to me. And so what I'm having a hard time, the man went to jail, but what I'm having a hard time with him, I'm not having as much a hard time forgiving him as forgiving myself for not seeing the warning signs, for not being doing my due diligence, for dealing with a situation where I came out from under some protective covering of our family, you know, financial advisors, which is what we did. And so I'm really struggling with what did I do to cause this and how do I forgive myself for allowing this to happen, which I know it wasn't my fault. This man was preying on us.
Mm.
And so
yes.
I think it's more about forgiving myself in this situation.
Yeah. Sue, thank you for calling. I am so sorry that happened to you. That never should have happened to you. And no doubt there were many other people that happened to. And I'm glad that this person was prosecuted by the furthest extent of the law and to pay for their crime that they committed. But, Sue, I have to ask you, going back to when you made those decisions, did you make those decisions with the best available information you had in that moment? Now, keep in mind, Sue, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and you can look back and say, "Oh, I wish this would have." No, at the moment you made that decision, I'm going to suggest, Sue, you had the best available information available, and you made the best decision you could have made under those circumstances. Is that correct?
I would say that's correct, especially since I was involved in it was a Christian networking marketing organization.
All right.
Okay, good.
Because you had all the knowledge available to you to make the decision in that moment. The only thing you did not have is the ability to see the future. And so you're beating yourself up over some sort of mystical power that you never had, and that was to see the future. Now, if you had seen the future and could have seen how this was going to turn out, you would have made a very different decision. But you made the decision based on how you prayed about it, how you thought about it, how you investigated. You did the best you could at the time. And unfortunately, it did not work out, and it did not work out for a lot of people like you. Sadly, this happens all the time. So, Sue, you need to give yourself some grace here. I'm sorry. It's a tragedy what happened. And the consequences should be punishment enough for you without you having to hold some sort of grudge against yourself and beat yourself up because you weren't able to predict the future.
That's a great counsel, Gil. And that's a very difficult situation. And I feel sorry for Sue. But, boy, you really brought some great wisdom to the table. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, thank you so much. Why do people withhold forgiveness? Why?
Well, Bill, it goes against every fiber in our flesh to forgive. If you hit me, Bill, I will react so quickly that I won't even think of it as a choice. I'm going to yell, ow, and I'm going to want to hit you back, or I'm going to pull away. That is just so instinctive to our nature. Forgiveness is not instinctive. Forgiveness is against our nature. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is a heavenly nature. Alexander Pope was right when he said to err is human, to forgive is divine.
Yeah, that's another great piece of wisdom. Gil, you just keep coming up with one after another.
Well, you'd be surprised what you find on the internet, Bill. No, you know, your best teacher is your last mistake. And
oh,
believe me,
the truth?
I wrote this book because I've needed a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I'm an expert in that I've lived it.
Yeah. Okay. If you've been deeply wounded, and that's a very serious place, and you need to move forward, what's a baby step?
Mm-hmm. Baby step. I like to tell people to show God where it hurts. When I was a child and I would scrape my knee, I'd go crying to my mom, and she would always ask, show me where it hurts. And I'd point to my knee, and she would clean it up, and she'd put a Band-Aid on it, and she'd kiss it. And, you know, it still hurt, but I felt better knowing that somebody cared. Somebody loved me. And there is no one who loves you more, no one who knows you better, and there is no one who can make more sense out of your chaos than God.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, though, Bill, many people run from God when they go through a crisis or a heartache or pain. And I'm telling you, don't run from God. Run to God and just show him where it hurts because he loves you.
Yeah, you know, you've made this sound not so complicated, Gil.
Well, it's easy once you know how.
Yeah.
And again, that's what we tried to do in the book, is to show you how and to give you example after example of how other people have gone through it. At the end of each chapter, by the way, there are some questions to kind of provoke your thinking or to use as a like a home group study, and also some ways that you can apply what you've learned in that chapter to your personal life. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for education, Bill. I'm looking for transformation through this book.
I love it. Just got a text from a listener. Thank you so much for this broadcast. It's helped me tremendously. Gil, thank you so much for coming on. This is a big topic. You do it so beautifully. And you've got a very soothing voice.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. Gil Mertz has been my guest. His book is called Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past, and Reclaim Your Future. If you missed any of today's show, you're going to love to go back and hear it all at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening today. I hope you have a great night. As you lay your head on the pillow, just know that God is writing his grand story in your life. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.